Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and your phone calls. 1-800-229-3000. It's a great day for New Life.
Before I ask my question, I first want to say how much I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
You know something, I failed as a husband.
I had a question, if I could, please.
Okay.
The rest of it, I just felt like I was kind of getting shined on. So now I get it.
I want to know about your dad, what he was like.
He was an angry person.
That's a big part of your anger.
I think, John. Having you be a little bit more involved says, I'm a woman and you're doing this to women. This is going to affect your relationship with women. And so for him to feel what that's like in the presence of a woman, I think is important.
Yeah.
That was good, Jill.
People with addictive personalities are like boa constrictors.
Well, I just say, did you play with dynamite when you were a child? Because this is playing with dynamite. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. Hello, John.
Hello, Steve. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. I'm going to show you something because I have a little lesson with it. This is a ship. Mm-hmm. That my son, 5 years old, built by himself by following the directions, one Lego at a time. Here, you can see it on if you're watching us on television. Look, there's the ship.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so here's the life lesson. On the box, you know, he's five. On the box, it says 9 to 16 is the age that can do that project. And he says to me, Dad, see that 9 to 16? Just ignore that. So a lady says, I'm going to make Solomon my life coach, and anytime somebody points out some limiting factor
some
in my
ceiling
life,
on them.
I'm going to say, just ignore that.
Ignore that.
Isn't that great? Anyway, a lot of times we need to do that.
Well, you know, they have a term in psychology called the self-limiting belief.
Yeah.
And they found a lot of people don't achieve better things spiritually or emotionally, relationally, even in their business, because they think, I could never do that.
Right.
So, Solomon, thank you for the life coaching for us.
In Healing is a Choice, I talk about the person that thinks, well, God really can't use me until I'm stronger, wiser. And, boy, you look all through Scripture, and he was using the lame, the halt, the immature. I mean, look at the disciples. You don't find a scragglier, more immature bunch of people than them in the beginning.
That's why those guys had to take the roof off to get the lame men in there.
Yeah.
We got to take the roof off today, Steve. We're going to take the roof off for some people.
Now, the other day we were talking about that story, and you know what we said? We need roof people.
Roof people?
People that
help
take us to the roof to lower us down. And, you know, Jesus said their faith was the reason he was going to heal that man, not just his. I mean, talk about a call for group connection,
community.
We all need roof people.
Let's have roof meetings and say things like, lower me down, okay?
Lower me down. We're on the roof.
We're on the roof.
I'm coming down, baby. And that means it reminds me of my stepson's new game. And the game is not to think about the game. And so if you think about the game, you have to raise your hand and say, I lost the game.
So the only way you can win is to not ever say that?
Not to think about it. So anyway. All right. So we all do need roof people, don't we? We need people that will lower us down, do whatever it takes to get us to the healing that we need. Maybe somebody is counting on you to be a roof person. You could say, hey, why don't you listen to that their radio program there and have them tune in. We'd love that. We're going to take your calls when we come back, 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number that you have to call. And by the way, we're going to be in the studio for 5 hours after this hour. And the next hour, we're going to record a special show on blended families. And so if you have a blended family question, please call us. We'd love to talk to you about blended families. That's in the next hour. And this Friday program is going to be a Focus Friday, and it's going to be about addiction. So if you've got somebody that you know is struggling with addiction, or maybe there's someone in their family that's struggling with addiction, they can call us at 1-800-229-3000, or just have them listen in. And then don't forget, we've set our May date for the Footsteps of Paul tour, and you can find out more about that trip in May at 1-800-223-3855.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. Dr. Jill Hubbard would have normally been with us today, but boy, she's really ill and bailed out on us yesterday due to that illness. So pray for her if you would. Let's go to Althea from Ojai, California. KDAR is the station. We love that station up there. Hello there.
Hello.
How you doing?
Well, I have a great big question.
Okay, Althea, what is that question?
What is the difference between love, when you're loving somebody, and addiction, love addiction? I hear a lot about addiction, you know, drugs and all that.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I got to hear from you guys. I hear a lot about connection, you know, on mm-hmm. your program,
yeah.
couples that aren't connected. My own experience has been very, very connected to a man for over 32 years, and I want to know, how do I know if it's addiction or love?
Now, are you not married to that man?
Yes, I was.
You were married to him.
You're right. Okay.
Well, one of the unique things about the problem is that when you're truly in love, you know, it feels like an addiction sometimes, and it's healthy, and it's an interdependency on each other. But usually, love addiction is a very one-sided proposition where you have all of this need for attachment no matter the price. And quite frequently, or most of the time, that price is pretty high. Price of abuse or neglect or abandonment, but you're still there with that person. So you could say it's kind of an attachment disorder when it's addictive, an attachment to a really sick thing, because the desperate person would rather be attached to something sick than not attached to anything at all. John, what do you think about this this addiction versus true love thing?
Yeah, you, Althea, you basically have to look at two things. Love preserves freedom and choice between two people, and love preserves identity between two people. So in love, you can say, I don't want to be with you now, I'm going to go out with my friends, or I disagree with you of what you said, or I like a different restaurant than you do. And in love, it's like, yeah, we love the fact that we have freedom to choose. And in love, identity is preserved, which means you're yourself and I'm myself, and God made us certain ways. In addiction, you lose both the freedom and the identity. So in love addiction, the person, like Steve said, they go into a very dependent state and they can't function on their own. And all their choices are about holding on to the other person and getting the life supply sources. So there's no freedom. And also they lose their identity.
So what do you think? Were you addicted or were you in love?
No. If you say that, I didn't lose. I had freedom of choice, plenty of choice. He didn't do anything to me. I think I'm going to believe this to be true, that I love him. He loved me. I know that. But he didn't love me the way I needed to be loved. And I've done 5 years after leaving him of working. Why did I leave? Childhood issues were not cleaned up.
Okay. So there was some baggage.
A lot of baggage that I took in there, and he's got a lot. And I know that I know where he comes from, and he doesn't even know his story, but I know where he comes from. So This has just been wonderful. You guys are absolutely terrific. I can't even send enough monthly to say thank you.
Thank you.
Really.
So does this
is very clear.
Now, does this cause you to want to do anything different, or does it just feel better?
No, I wanted to send something on his birthday, and I wanted to say something. It was about love. And I thought, oh, there you go, your love. And I thought, I got mad. I'm going to rebel. I'm going to write what I want to write because I love him, and I'm going to say it. It's his birthday, and I'm going to send the card.
Althea,
I felt good.
And let me tell you why that was a good thing. If you had sent the card saying, come back, that'd been bad. If you sent the card saying, you really messed me up, that's bad. But if you just send a card because you care for him, that's the highest value of love. That's what God that's how God loves us. He gives without expecting anything in return. So good for you. I'm going to send a copy of my book, Loving People, which explains love at a real kind of a how do we do it in relationships level. I'll give you some pointers on that. So good for you.
Oh, you mean Kay and Ma? I have that book.
Oh, I don't know. Do you?
Smiling and Kay's book?
No, that's a different book.
How We Love?
How We Love. But, you know, I'm going to send you two because you're a reader. I'm going to send you Loving People. And also, Steve's book is, the ink is still wet on Steve's book. It's called Walking Into Walls. And we'll send you that one, too, because you're such a
girl. I've hit a wall. But thank you for what you said. That makes total sense. I'm glad I sent that card. And it wasn't an all, oh, I love you, I want you. Nothing.
I wish you well.
That's all I know.
Yeah, I love you and I wish you well.
All right. Well, we're glad that you called, Althea, and hold on.
Oh, is this going to be on the radio at some day later?
Today.
Oh, today?
Today.
Oh, wow. I'm going to listen.
Okay.
I listen every day.
Yes.
Oh, you guys are terrific.
Okay.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah, on your station, we'll be on there this afternoon.
I'll be there on listening to myself.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I wish we could please everybody like that, you know? Be all right.
Steve, that's so important what you were talking about, though, about the dependency issue. You know you really love someone when they can make choices that aren't your first choice, but you still feel good towards them.
Yeah, right.
Then that's love. That's the way God does it.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Marissa from Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hello there.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much.
How can we help you today?
Okay. I need to ask you a question. I have a 13-year-old that I just found out last week that he smokes weed. And I need to help with that. My other son, an 18-year-old, also smokes weed. But I don't live with him anymore because of that. I thought that he was a bad influence over my youngest son, and I just don't know what to do.
When would your 13-year-old have an opportunity to smoke the weed?
Well, you know what? I suspect that was sometime in this summer, and let me tell you why. I found a very tiny bag of leftovers of weed on his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me that was of my other son, and right away, right at that moment, I tested him,
mm-hmm.
and that became negative. And then, like a month later, he smelled like he was smoking cigarette, I tested him again, and that the result was negative.
Okay.
So I was kind of, you know.
Yeah. But so you believe he's smoking marijuana. So today, when would he have a chance to do that?
Since you found out, when would he have a chance? Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah. I found out on his Facebook.
No. I'm getting at something, so I want you to answer my question. Today, this day, this very day, when would he have an opportunity to smoke weed today?
I suspect that is after school. Sometimes I get home after he does, or when he's home alone. We live together. We live alone.
Okay, so somehow you're going to have to change his schedule. You're going to have to work it out with the principal.
The access problem.
Yeah, that he will stay in a classroom until you pick him up at school. And then he has no freedom on the weekends to spend any time with his peers until you've worked with them and he's maybe worked with the counselor and you're convinced that he deserves 1 minute of freedom. But right now, right when you're starting to dole out a little freedom to a 13-year-old, he's saying, I can't handle freedom.
Exactly, okay.
So my point is, there shouldn't, from this moment on, there shouldn't be an opportunity. Now, of course, you know, kids are sly and all that stuff. But I'm
until
saying
he earns it.
There shouldn't be free time where he can make a connection and smoke his weed. And that's going to take some work on your part to make that happen. Since you're working, you guys don't make it home at the same time. Your thoughts,
okay,
John?
Okay, now that you are telling me that, let's say that that's the physical part. And how can I help him in emotional or spiritual part?
Okay.
Well, Marissa, once you set up that structure Steve's talking about where his access is limited, and also he does need consequences. Even if it's driven by pain, there still need to be consequences for a kid just to make sure he gets the how severe it is. Then what you want to do is talk to him. Now, some parents don't have a very good relationship with their child, and they'll say, I don't know how to talk to him about these things. Then they need to go to a counselor because they don't have the skills. But if your son opens up to you, then just say, I want to know what's driving this. If it's something mild, like the other kids are doing it, or it's cool, or, you know, feels good, you may not need to see a counselor because then you solve the problem of you're not going to be able to do this and it's just a bad habit. But if you find out in your conversations that something else is going on, let me give you kind of a menu. When I'm lonely, I do it. When I'm bored, I do it. I do it when I made a mistake. I do it to please other people. I do it because I don't feel good inside. You just need to take him to a counselor and you work out the issue. So you're not his therapist. Don't worry about being his therapist. But if it's something beyond just having fun, he'll probably need to see a therapist.
I see.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'm glad you called.
Thanks, Marissa.
Bye-bye.
All right. Boundaries with teens.
Mm-hmm.
Coming her way. All right, 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. And if you need a resource, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to the website newlife.com. A lot of stuff there.
You know, you read a really good point about the freedom and access thing, Steve. You know, in First Timothy, it says the law was written for the lawless.
Yeah.
So you want to give grace until right. somebody says, I'm lawless. I'm going to take advantage of grace. And then you have to say, really?
Yeah.
Here's the law, here's the rules,
right.
here's the restrictions until you can show us you can operate in grace again.
Yeah. You know, a 13-year-old always looking for an opportunity to smoke pot, you have to step in.
Yep.
Or there'll be a 19-year-old always looking for the opportunity to smoke pot.
Right.
You got to help them. All right. 1-800-229-3000. Let's go over here to Abby from Washington, D.C., listening on WAVA. Hello, Abby.
Hi, Steve. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on?
I have been married for the past 3 years. My husband has been involved in multiple affairs. Hmm. And I realize that he's addicted to porn, and he's an addict, I can say.
Mm-hmm.
For some time now, we've been going through a whole lot of issues. We had confrontations, and right now family and church are involved in everything. I got fed up, so I gave him an ultimatum. Either he goes for EMB, or that's it.
So did he go to Every Man's Battle?
Yeah, he did just this weekend.
How's it going?
He came back so excited and everything. Right now, my problem is he's been very manipulative in the past. He's always like, so I don't really know if it's really something that, he is a new change or just one of his yeah. old ways of trying to manipulate me. I don't know. And
yeah,
now
I
have families involved, and I also don't know how to respond to him, what he's talking about, how sincere his whole thing is, and
well,
when can I be intimate with him, because I'm so done.
Yeah.
I don't know, because it was so bad, he even went to the extent of my own cousin, who was a bridesmaid for me. Okay. I mean, my church people, everything. I cannot. I feel so ashamed going to church right now because we slept almost half of the ladies in my church.
Oh, Abby.
Oh, goodness.
It's so. Now, did you know this before he went, or did he come home and confess all that?
Before he went, he told me some of them. But after he came, he told me about the porn and some of the things that.
Okay.
But there, I feel and I still believe that there are still things that he's not coming up clean with.
Well, he didn't go and have a complete transformation. He went and he's set off in a different direction, and it's going to take a lot of support from different things, and we'll help you know what to look for. But, you know, we've got this Women in the Battle conference coming up that it's for people like you. I mean, you're totally, it's normal for you to feel all this stuff. And you wouldn't want to just trust the guy right off the bat. So we'll talk about
it. And let's talk about breakthroughs and habits.
Oh, very good. We'll be back.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband. The amazing dad. A great lover, but my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Abby. Abby, have you thought about going to that Women in the Battle thing?
Yes, I have, Steve.
It would help you so much.
I've been talking about for a while, but I, the only problem is I will not be able to afford it right now.
Well, you need to call them, and you need to tell them you need it, and tell them you need a scholarship. And let's see if we.
They said it's over now. It was last month. It passed last month, so I will not be able to qualify for that now.
Well, I don't know what that means, but. We haven't had Women in the Battle yet, so we'll try to connect you there and see if something good could come from that. But, John, you're going to talk about
breakthroughs and habits.
Yeah.
Abby, you are right not to trust your husband. Okay?
Yes.
Let's start there. He's had breakthroughs because Every Man's Battle is very effective in people connecting the dots, getting the aha moment. I know why I do this, and I've been bondage to this, and I'm feeling some hope and some release and some freedom. And God, you know, God shined the light on it through the groups of the teaching. So that part you're happy about, but you don't trust his habits yet. Because what they found out in growth circles is that a person can have an aha moment, but then we're neurologically, we have habit patterns of going to the wrong sites or relating to women or in an unhealthy way or not relating to you or friends in a healthy way, and so feeling empty and depleted and that sort of thing. So your husband needs a program of continued growth. That might be a men's group, a good small group, a therapist. I would suggest as many of those things you can do. When guys come away from EMB, it's sort of like the more antibodies, the better, for probably a year. And during that time, he's got to be digging in his soul and his pain and his family of origin issues. But at the same time, you can't trust him yet. So that's when you say, I love you, I'm glad you're here, I want to support you, I'm not sure I can be intimate yet. A lot of wives are just not sure because of all the multiple things that have happened. But if you will be accountable to me so I can call you anywhere, I can text you anywhere, I'll know where you'll be, and you don't mind a kind of a choke chain for a while, and you're supported by some other men who go deep with you, over time, I will have somebody in my life, a mentor, a pastor, a spiritual director, a counselor, who'll be the quarterback. And that quarterback will say, I think Sam's ready for more trust. But don't do it until the quarterback says so.
And, you know, if he says, we must have sex now.
That's an addict talking.
Then you need to say, okay, here I am trying to understand and accept you sleeping with half the women in the church and our lovely cousin, the bridesmaid, and you can't understand why intimacy would be impossible for me right now? You see, if it's valid, the direction he's going for your heart. And he just simply is going to have to suffer a little bit if this is going to... is it going to produce, you know, major dramatic transformation and change?
Yeah, you know, Abby, Jesus said something very important about that in John chapter 10. He said, well, if you don't trust what I'm saying, do you trust my behaviors? Even Jesus said, let me prove myself to you. So your husband's got to do the same thing. The behavior's got to change, and you've got to see it over time.
Okay, I'm glad you called. Hold on. And I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls, and I will put you in touch with wives, Women in the Battle again, because I really want you to go to that. All right. Let's talk to, how about Cheryl from Alexandria, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hello, Cheryl.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. What's going on in your life today?
Well, I wanted some direction and possibly some resources to direct a friend and coworker to.
Okay.
I just found out today over lunch that she's been dabbling in the occult and seeing mediums with a large group of friends, and just scared the daylights out of me. And I was trying to, you know, warn her about that, but I listened into the show, I thought I would call you all and see what kind of advice you had.
Well, does she
share with her?
Does she see it as a problem or not?
Well, she said that she felt like something weird was going on. She is Catholic, but she doesn't attend church regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just very much cautioning her on that and, you know, the dangerous road she's going towards, and tried to refer her to some, you know, biblical stories and things, but I wanted to offer her some reference material or something where she could read this and kind of absorb it.
And I don't think it works. I don't think the reference material works.
What do you think would?
Well, if you're involved in the occult and you're involved with people in the occult, there's a pretty strong draw there, and there's some power there. And outside of coming alongside and being a relationship to her that comes to mean more than her occult relationships, you know, you can say to somebody, okay, read this, and there might be a 1 in 100 chance that they'd go, whoa, wow, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're sitting there reading it with them after you've gone to coffee about 15 times and stuff and shown a real interest in their heart and their soul versus just a notch on the Bible there, you know, I think you've got a real opportunity to help her, but it's not going to be a quick fix or an instant solution, and we'll talk about it more right after this. You're listening to or watching New Life Live. Dr. John Townsend here. He is the author of a new book that's coming out, Beyond Boundaries. You're going to do a webcast on that, aren't you?
October 4th.
October the 4th. So you can find out about that on our website. It may not be there right now, but it will pretty soon. Anyway, we'll take a break and we'll come back and hope that you'll pray for us while we're gone.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. We're talking with Cheryl here, and got a friend in the occult. John, what's your take on this?
Well, you know, Cheryl, the Bible tells us to do both things at once. We're supposed to flee the devil and his devices, and there really is a devil out there. And we're supposed to, you know, either avoid him or not follow his ways. But we're also supposed to go for the light. And I really like what Steve said about that if all we do with her is show her that it's a bad thing. And I do think we need to. We need to say this. There's some danger here. There's some bad things
going
on.
Which she's done.
Which you've done.
Yeah.
But the other piece is give her the good stuff. You know, the devil works in a vacuum. He's only, as C.S. Lewis said, he's a counterfeit of the good thing. So give her the right thing. So get did you think about Josh McDowell's More Than a Carpenter, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great book about Jesus and who he was as a real person and how he loves us and who he was. And if you, as a friend, would offer to every other week, let's sit down and read a chapter of this while you're doing the occult thing over there. I don't want you to, but what you're doing is if you're talking and processing this with your friend, she begins to experience the light, the who he was, and falls in love with him like all of us have to do, but she's got her buddy along there to talk about. She's not in a vacuum anymore.
And here's something you might say to her is that just from my own experience, I know this. For every good thing that I've ever seen that comes from God, there is a counterfeit of it. And the counterfeit is what really gets us into trouble. Mm. And I think...
Well, I did talk about that bit with her.
Good.
The main reason she went was she said that she was trying to find out where, you know, her father's deceased, and she wanted to find out if he made it, you know, like where he went. And I said, well, you know, you don't go to the dead to find out about, you know, the living, or, you know, if your father's a Christian, then you should know where he is.
Right.
You know, we're not looking for answers from.
Yeah, well, that's, that she's, let's just say, let me be nice about it. She's impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you can take advantage of that.
Get her to fall in love with God.
Yeah.
Get her to fall in love with God.
All right, More Than a Carpenter. I don't know if we've got a copy around here we could send her or not, but any bookstore or Amazon, any place like that. All right, let's go to Dee, calling from Hyattsville, Maryland, WAVA. Hello, Dee.
Hi, Steve. It's a pleasure to hear you.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk with you. And how are things in Hyattsville?
Beautiful.
Good. That's good. Well, how can we help you today?
Well, I have a daughter. She's an adult now, and I want to find out how can I get her to understand the reason why I couldn't be with her when I left her, enough to forgive me and not holding it against me where we don't have a relationship.
Yeah, you left her when?
When she was 8.
And if I was her,
in another country,
if I was her,
what would you? I'm going to go back because of paperwork, but when I did get the paperwork through, I was able to bring her and both her brothers over.
Okay, and then what happened to them?
But it so happened when she got her paper through me, she moved out the next 2 weeks.
How long were
with the relatives and
Dee? How long was this?
Then we were just not having that connection. If she does come over, she said, "I'm not coming here for you, just for your husband." And you know, it just
Dee?
Go on and on. I
Dee?
Try every
Hello.
Way.
Dee. How?
I send
how?
Her things
Dee.
And she never called and said thank you. She never said anything.
Dee.
So that I don't see my grandkids.
Dee. Listen, real quick. Don't say anything.
Dee, okay. we need for you to say a couple of sentences and then stop and then listen and then we'll say some things and then we'll help
we'll
you.
We'll go back and forth.
Yeah.
Now, how long was it from the time that you moved over to this country and that she got her papers? How many months or years was that?
Well, she came over when she was like 24 years.
And you left her when she was how old?
8 years.
Why did it take 16 years?
Well, because of different reasons. I tried doing it, and it didn't go through. So it so happened I got it done again. But before I tried getting it, I did try to get her over just to visit, but she messed up, and it didn't work out.
Do you think why didn't you go back and just – and I want to understand. I'm kind of getting this. Why didn't you just go back and be her mom? Why did you stay over here?
I just didn't want to go at the time.
Why did you not want to go?
I think I did something foolish that I didn't know. I think that was the best thing to do at the time.
What did you do?
I just left her and wanted to, you know, get her over.
Now, here's my question for you. You've kind of explained and defended what happened, wanting her to see it your way, but then you also have admitted that you made a horrible mistake. Now,
yes, I did.
Now, which one does she hear the most from you, that you made a mistake or that you did the best you could?
Well, that I made a mistake.
You've told her that?
Yes, I told her.
You've asked her forgiveness?
I did, but...
Okay. Yeah.
She said, "Well, you know, you will be always my mother, but then I'm not seeing that in actions because when I try to get in connect with her, call her, she will hang up sometimes, she will talk."
Can you say to her that you totally understand why she would feel that way after all those years?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll also let her know that I know she's going through some pains because it's not only that I left her, but she was also abused in different ways,
on
my family's part. You know.
Yeah. Well.
You know what I would do?
Yeah.
I would probably have another conversation with her and say, "Cindy," or whatever her name is, "I don't deserve anything from you. I don't deserve anything good. And I know that. And if you need to not have a relationship with me forever, I will accept that. And I'll understand because I have caused you a lot of pain."
Mm-hmm.
"So anything that you give me would be nice. But you don't have to give me anything. And if you ever can spend time with me, what I would like to do, if it's a coffee or a dinner or a meeting at a park bench or whatever, or a meeting in a counselor's office, I would like to spend some time with you just explaining to me how hard this was for you. And I will listen, and I will not defend, and I will just be the mom that says, I want to know about it.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm telling you, Dee, this, because I have seen adult children transformed by a mom who says, you don't owe me anything, and I want to know the bad stuff. And they don't trust it at first, then they have a little meeting of 30 minutes, and then an hour, and then they say, maybe we can have lunch, then they maybe have dinner, then let's have Christmas. But you've got to do those two things. I don't have any requirements, and I want to hear the bad stuff.
Good. See, the focus is all on her, mm-hmm. See?
What about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you?
Well, I had time on Christmas gone. I invited her over, and she came over, but it's better she didn't because her brothers were over there, and she
now,
just ignored everyone.
Dee, if you were listening to John, it wouldn't matter what happened on Christmas. You would just be thinking about how could I let her know I don't need anything from her, and I want to know how bad it was. And if she won't talk with you on the phone, then you need to email her or write her a letter and tell her that you want to hear.
Dee, try to find a recording of this talk. This will be on the website, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I want you to do. We just spent about 4 minutes talking about this, and I think somehow it didn't get across what I was saying. Get it and from the website and go to a friend that you trust and say, what did this guy say to me? And have them explain it two or three times, and because these are new concepts for some of us,
mm-hmm.
and have them explain it so that this is not about inviting them to Christmas and not knowing what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's about two very important things, but sometimes new information's hard, so get them to help you with that. But I think this will make a difference. I'll also send you a copy of Now What Do I Do? It's the problem-solving book that talks about these things.
You know, a lot of people are in clubs. The ex-prisoner club is a club. There are a lot of clubs that you could be in, and one of the greatest clubs you could be in is Club New Life. Now, I'm not going to club you over the head trying to get you to join, but for $30 a month, you can be part of our giving family and be part of Club New Life. We'll send you a CD that we do every single month just for you with some great teaching from one of our hosts and a couple of calls that we think are really powerful calls that maybe you've missed. We give you an update on the ministry. You get discounts on products. There's all sorts of benefits.
And you get to be part of the mission. That's why I'm a member.
And part of that foundation of giving that keeps us on the air. So please just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com and say, I want to join the club, Club New Life. And God will reward you with riches beyond... No, I'm just kidding about that. Sometimes I slip. I want that, but it doesn't happen.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's talk with Michelle from Shannon, Michigan. Hello, Michelle. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing great. How could we help you today?
Well, I just need to know if I should try and mend things with my family or and understand or see it from their way, or if I should just walk away.
Well, what happened? What happened in your family?
Well, a year and a half ago, my brother actually shot a man that I was dating and killed him.
Oh, my goodness.
How did that happen? What was going on?
I'd been dating the guy for about 3 months because I was in a really bad marriage where I was mentally and physically abused.
Mm.
And my brother actually talked my husband at that time into locking me out of our house, out of his house. And he got my kid. He got custody of him through temporary custody. And I'd known the man that I was started dating for several years. And it started off as just a friendship. And it ended up starting into dating. Well, then my family started calling him and threatening to kill him. And I went to the authorities and I tried to report it.
Why did they not like him?
There was an age difference. There was like a 15-year age difference.
Well, families can say we don't agree with something, but why would your family say we're going to kill you?
Because they wanted me to go back to my husband. My father was very abusive to my mother. And he had three daughters, including me. And
so you just have a very severely controlling, violent sort of culture in your family.
Yes.
What happened to your brother?
He got actually found innocent. He was charged with manslaughter, and at the same time he was charged, I was charged with conspiracy of aggravated assault against him. Because, like I said, my husband at that time had custody of my kids. I was brought back to my parents' house whenever my boyfriend at the time passed away. And my dad grabbed me by my throat, and he told me what I had to say and what I couldn't say and whenever I gave my statement to the sheriff's department. And he told me if I did that, then they would help me with getting my babies back. But if I didn't, then they were going to help my ex-husband keep my babies away from me.
Did they help you get your babies back?
No. Because I went along with saying what they wanted me to say in my statement at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we went into court, I couldn't do it because I couldn't live with the burden of going in there and lying and not telling the truth. Because if he was innocent like he was saying, then the truth was going to be the one to set him free, not lies.
Okay.
That's what I was telling.
Okay. Do you have your children now?
No. I'm still fighting my ex-husband for them.
No. Okay, so you were willing to get involved with a man while you were still married, but you weren't willing to tell a lie to get your kids back.
They wanted me to say that the man that I was dating was calling and threatening to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted me, like, in the court, I couldn't put my hand on the Bible and...
Mm-hmm.
Swear to tell the truth and not tell the truth with my hand on the Bible. I couldn't do
that. Yeah, okay. All right, so what's the question for us, given all of this?
Well, even after my brother was found innocent in court, and because I was telling the truth about he got the gun, about him calling and threatening him, they still, to this day, blame me for him shooting the man. They blame me for all the heartache that has been brought on them by me having to tell the truth. And I've tried talking to them, and I've tried understanding from their point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've also tried telling them that it's not right for them to go around and threaten somebody just because, threaten to kill a man just because they don't want me with them.
Right. Okay. And well, so the question would be what?
If I should try to keep mending things with my family, or if I should just walk away.
Okay. What do you think, John?
Michelle, first off, I just feel this heaviness inside me for you. And I mean, if everything you've said is true, you have lived some things in life that nobody should have ever lived. And I'm really sorry. Okay?
Yes.
All right. It's not okay. It's you've been through catastrophes and trauma and losses at a level that most people have never done. And so that's hard. And I hope you're getting help of a really good kind. All right?
Yes. I mean, I tried getting help, and my parents would tell me that I couldn't talk to anybody. And before, my brother went to trial because they were scared.
No, I understand. But number one is you've got to get help, whether your parents say you can or not. You've got to get help.
Yeah,
you've been really traumatized. In terms of mom and dad and family, you know, Jesus said sometimes you got to shake the dust off your sandals. And you shake the dust off your sandals after you've gone the second mile and the third mile.
Mm-hmm.
And after it's, I mean, there are some people that are sort of annoying or crazy or somewhat toxic, and you can still see them for holidays and, you know, dinners every now and then. But if people are attacking you at this severe level and it's this dark and you've done everything you can to be redemptive, I think you've got to put some real limits on this relationship and just not spend some time with them and just say, if you ever decide to see things a different way, let me know, but I need to move on. This is very, very dark. But we're going to leave you in the line because we're going to get you some help.
Yeah. All right. You know, sometimes we don't need to be around people, but we also don't need to make a big production out of not being around them. Mm-hmm. In other words, we don't need to, I'm never going to be with you again, that kind of thing. And that's what I think is the temptation.
Yeah, it's better to have the unavailable calendar.
Right.
I just don't do this. No, it's not going to. Let me know if you ever decide to look at it another way.
Yeah. Boy, that's a tragic story from so many different angles. Mm-hmm. But it does remind us of the reality of life and the things that we can get into. And, you know, there's only one way, ultimately, out of those things. And I believe, and that is to experience the forgiveness that Jesus Christ affords us. He came, He lived, He died on the cross, He rose from the grave. And if we trust in Him, that He took the burden of our sin, the penalty of our sin, we can be saved from all of this horrible stuff in our past. Now, that doesn't mean that we become instantly filled with character and wisdom and knowledge. That's a process that we have to enter into with other people. But I'll tell you, everything we do here is based on a foundation that no matter what we do, we can't work our way out of it. We can't be good enough to overcome it. We have to trust in Christ and His death on the cross. And if you want to do that, you call us. Maybe it's the first time you ever thought about it, that you don't have the ability to be good enough to get into the presence of a holy God. But Jesus Christ has allowed us to do that by His sacrifice. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and let us talk to you about that. John, do you have a thought before we go?
I was just reflecting on the darkness that Michelle's experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, that Jesus said the Son of Man came into the world to seek and save those who are lost.
Yeah.
And so whether a person's on the crazy violent end of things, mm-hmm. or you've been a recipient of that,
right.
He came to save us because we're all lost without Him.
All right, we're going to do a program right after this on blended families. If you have a blended family question or problem, please call us right now at 1-800-229-3000. The rest of the day, we're going to be in doing programs. And so please call us, 1-800-229-3000. If you need some help or you can help us, that number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. My thanks to Dr. John Townsend and all of you that support and listen. See you next time.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.